Good morning and welcome to Simply Finance. It's Monday, March 25th. On today's show, Iceland's Prime Minister favors farming over finance as Bitcoin miners feast on the island's cheap power. RBI to conduct special audit of IIFL Finance, JM Financial for regulatory breaches, tenders floated to appoint auditors. Plus, trade finance might not be sexy, but it's blockchain's key to success. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Finance. We start off with a look at the intersection of cryptocurrency and environmental concerns. Bitcoin mining is known for its high energy consumption, and miners often seek out locations with cheap power to maximize their profits. One such location is Iceland, where low energy costs have turned the country into a global hub for Bitcoin mining. However, this development is not sitting well with Iceland's Prime Minister, Katrin Jakobsdóttir. Michael, our correspondent for Simply Finance, is here to discuss this further. So Michael, what is the Prime Minister's stance on this issue?
Well, David, Prime Minister Jakobsdóttir is advocating for a shift away from energy-intensive Bitcoin mining towards more efficient uses of energy, particularly food production. She highlighted corn as a potential focus, given that Iceland currently imports over 50% of its vegetables and nearly 100% of its grain.
That's interesting. But how feasible is it for Iceland to boost food production, considering its climate?
Despite its chilly climate, Iceland has access to affordable and renewable energy in the form of hydroelectric and geothermal power. If harnessed and allocated properly, it's conceivable that the country could significantly increase its food production.
But with the upcoming Bitcoin mining reward halving event, isn't there a risk that the demand for cheap energy from miners could increase?
That's a valid concern. The halving event, estimated to occur around April 20th, will reduce the rewards for Bitcoin mining. This could make Iceland's cheap energy even more attractive to large-scale miners, intensifying the competition for energy resources.
What are the potential implications of this increased demand for energy?
Increased energy demands can stress local power grids and raise electricity prices. It's also a significant environmental concern. A study by the Cambridge Center for Alternative Finance, cited by the U.S. Energy Information Administration, suggests that Bitcoin mining alone is responsible for nearly 1% of global energy consumption, equivalent to the entire energy consumption of countries like Greece or Australia.
That's quite alarming. So what's the way forward for Iceland?
As Bitcoin's price continues to rise, the issues of energy consumption, sustainability, and the local impacts of mining in Iceland and elsewhere are likely to become increasingly urgent topics of discussion. It's a complex issue that will require careful consideration and strategic planning.
Indeed, it's a situation that needs careful monitoring. Thanks for the insights, Michael. Now, shifting our focus to India, the Reserve Bank of India, or RBI, is set to conduct a special audit for potential regulatory breaches by IIFL Finance Limited and JM Financial Products Limited. This comes as the RBI has initiated the process for the appointment of auditors. Here with more on this is our correspondent James. Can you tell us more about this special audit?
Yes, David. The RBI is taking this step to ensure that these financial institutions are adhering to regulatory requirements. The special audit will focus on potential regulatory breaches by IIFL Finance Limited and JM Financial Products Limited. The RBI has already started the process to appoint auditors for this task.
And who can participate in this tendering process for the appointment of auditors?
According to the tender document, audit firms that are empaneled by the Securities and Exchange Board of India, or SEBI, for forensic audit can participate in the tendering process. This ensures that the auditors have the necessary expertise and experience to conduct this kind of special audit.
What might be the implications of this special audit for IIFL Finance Limited and JM Financial Products Limited?
The implications could be significant if the audit uncovers regulatory breaches. Depending on the severity and nature of the breaches, the RBI could impose penalties or other regulatory actions. It could also lead to increased scrutiny of these firms in the future.
Thanks for the update, James. Now, Let's shift our focus to a topic that might not be the most glamorous, but is becoming increasingly important: trade finance. Just as the characters in Dune and Shogun navigated complex webs of alliances and commerce, businesses today face similar challenges in a global trade landscape that's growing ever more complex. Here to discuss this further is Celeste, a correspondent for Simply Finance. Can you tell us more about how blockchain could revolutionize trade finance?
Certainly, David. As supply chains become more intricate, blockchain technology emerges as a potential game changer. It offers a transformative solution to the persistent trade finance gap. Blockchain leverages distributed ledger technology and digital asset solutions, allowing financial institutions to meet the excessive demand for capital.
And what does this mean for micro, small, and medium enterprises, or MSMEs?
MSMEs often face challenges in securing funding to support their operations, especially in regions with inadequate banking. The recent rise in interest rates and the tightening of credit have only exacerbated these challenges. The traditional banking system has struggled to keep up with the needs of the global supply chain. This is where blockchain comes in.
So how does blockchain address these issues?
Blockchain can help bridge the $5 trillion trade finance gap, which represents the collective difference in the demand for capital and the supply of capital for global shipments. This gap often obstructs the flow of funds to where it's needed most, MSMEs. As a decentralized and transparent ledger, blockchain can address the inefficiencies, lack of visibility, and centralized systems that hinder MSMEs' access to funding.
What opportunities does blockchain create in this context?
Blockchain creates new opportunities for suppliers, buyers, banks, and non-bank originators. It provides new rails to conduct commerce in real time, carrying immutable data, records, capital, and digital representations of real-world assets. As governments around the world recognize this potential, blockchain's role in global trade will become increasingly indispensable.
What about the challenges? Are there any obstacles to blockchain's adoption in trade finance?
There seems to be a real misunderstanding of what blockchain's opportunity holds, or perhaps a lack of understanding of trade finance and its value proposition. Users often want the excitement of a fervent market over the slower path toward trade finance adoption. This limiting spirit won't solve the problem of how to fund MSMEs across the globe and in turn feed value back to blockchain networks.
So what's the way forward?
The key is to make blockchain more accessible to more people. This will benefit everyone, those who want to own a meme coin and those who want to create a better way for businesses across the globe to grow and prosper, or even those who want both.
Thanks for that perspective, Celeste. Now shifting our focus to Asia, Hong Kong is attracting China's ultra-rich as it strengthens its position as a wealth management and family office hub. This trend is creating significant private banking opportunities, according to top executives at Citigroup. Half of the family offices served by Citigroup are expected to face a succession event in the next 5 years. Here to discuss this further is Bella, a correspondent for Simply Finance. Can you tell us more about this trend?
Certainly, David. Family offices in Hong Kong and broader Asia are relatively younger compared to those in Europe and the US. As such, they are seeking more education on succession and wealth planning. Citigroup's Global Family Office Group serves around 1,800 clients with an average net worth of $2.1 billion. It estimates that $100 trillion of wealth creation will take place across the world over the next 10 years, with the highest rate of growth in Asia.
Interesting. And how is Hong Kong positioning itself in this scenario?
Hong Kong is not just an investment center, but also a place for family offices to seek advice. Unplanned succession is the main reason family offices break down. Therefore, addressing family governance is crucial to maintain financial success and family unity. Events like Wealth for Good are reviving the energy around Hong Kong as a key investment hub, with all the ecosystem plugged into the Greater Bay Area for international investors.
What about diversification of assets? How important is that in the current market environment?
Diversification is critical for achieving a more stable return on investments, especially in the present market environment. Many family offices in Hong Kong are chasing the investment momentum being experienced in India, Japan, and US stock markets. However, it's important to note that they are not withdrawing investments from Hong Kong or China.
Are there any new trends among family offices that we should be aware of?
Yes, there's an increased interest in impact investing, investments made in philanthropic and environment-related areas. Family offices want to align their investments with their values, and they blur the lines between philanthropy and sustainable investing. They see them as different ways to achieve the same goals.
And what makes Hong Kong attractive for these family offices?
Hong Kong offers a low-tax environment with no inheritance tax or capital gains tax, along with other special tax concessions. The abundance of professional personnel also makes it an attractive destination. Events like the Financial Mega Event Week are leading to an increased uptick in inquiries from investors about how to set up bases in Hong Kong and what are the investment opportunities in the Greater Bay Area.
Thanks for that update, Bella. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Finance. We'll see you back here tomorrow.